On BBC One, a special investigation with some scenes some of you may find upsetting from the start.
Former British troops are about to break a code of silence.
I've never spoken to anyone about it outside the guys who served on these ops. Not even my family.
Their words are spoken by actors.
They were totally off reservation in Iraq and Afghanistan. I saw it for myself.
UK Special Forces were sent on countless dangerous missions. But eyewitnesses say some of their colleagues committed war crimes.
Everyone knew what was going on. Everyone knew what was happening. People were murdered.
It's the first time they've revealed what happened on the operations. The killings they witnessed.
It was obvious these people had been shot in the back. They were clearly running away.
And the executions they say happened in front of them.
They handcuffed a young boy and shot him. He was clearly a child, not even close to fighting age.
It's the terrible secret the British state has been accused of covering up.
These are murderers. They should all be locked up.
Helmand in southern Afghanistan. A place where British troops fought and died. Special Forces conducted hundreds of operations here. For the past 7 years, Panorama has been investigating allegations of war crimes. We travelled to remote locations and were the first from the UK to visit the sites of suspicious killings. First, to meet the families of the dead.
His hands were tied at the front. He had been killed. They had shot him in the corner of his eye, and later they had fired a shot at my father's chest.
We found evidence of terrible crimes. The murder of unarmed men, women, and children.
They had shot the boys in the head. They were placed next to each other. You could see the wounds.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I would like to make a statement.
After years of disputing Panorama's findings, the government made an announcement in 2022.
My right honourable friend, the Secretary of State for Defence, has commissioned an independent statutory inquiry to investigate and report on alleged unlawful activity by British Armed Forces during deliberate detention operations in Afghanistan.
The public inquiry is investigating many of the SAS operations reported by Panorama, including a raid where 8 men and a 14-year-old boy were killed. The SAS said they were targeting a Taliban commander and were fired on first, but the family say the men were unarmed and in bed.
So these are the bullet holes?
We anticipate the evidence for the families will be that they were shot in bed, most likely when they were asleep. BBC Panorama visited the compound and spoke with Habibullah Alizai and filmed the compound. It was noted by those making the programme that all but one set of bullet clusters were less than 75 centimetres from the height of the floor.
Now we have new evidence, and it comes from British troops who were on the ground.
Special Forces troops usually have a strict code of silence, but some of those who were on those missions have agreed to talk to us, to tell us what they saw.
We've spoken to more than 30 sources who served with or alongside UK Special Forces. They don't want to be identified, so their words are spoken by actors.
The squadron was keeping count of how many people were killed. Certain people in the squadron would keep count of how many they'd personally kill as well.
If a target had popped up on the list two or three times before, then we'd go in with the intention of killing them. There was no attempt to capture them. Sometimes we'd check we'd identified the target, confirm their ID and shoot them. Often, the squadron would just go and kill all the men they found there.
Everyone knew what was going on. It's not scout camp, everyone knew what was happening. People were murdered. I'm not taking away from personal responsibility, but everyone knew. So there was implicit approval for what was happening.
The more junior people in the squadron would be under instruction. He's not coming back to base with us, or this detainee, make sure he doesn't come off target.
Afghanistan was a tough place to serve. 457 members of the UK's armed forces lost their lives, and thousands more were wounded. Special forces were there to protect them, but the regular troops weren't told what happened on the raids. One MP saw the aftermath for himself. He was serving with the regular army in Helmand.
The helicopters would go in and there would be the raid or whatever. And then the next morning you'd often find half the village blaming you because an entire family had been killed. That happened very, very often. So that put the ground-holding troops obviously in a very difficult position because, understandably, they've got very, very upset Afghan villagers and elders. And we don't know anything about it.
The public inquiry is looking at alleged war crimes in Afghanistan between 2010 and 2013. Our evidence suggests they went on far longer.
We've spoken to eyewitnesses who say the unlawful killings and executions took place over more than a decade. They say the military knew what was going on, but did nothing to stop the killings.
It started in Iraq. British troops were part of a US-led invasion that removed Saddam Hussein in 2003. An insurgency followed, and the SAS hunted down those suspected of being involved. This is previously unseen footage of night raids filmed by one SAS squadron in 2006. The video's an end-of-tour compilation. It shows they were already keeping a kill tally.
It's a ridiculous metric. This just is a bad incentive. There's nothing good about that incentive. It's always going to lead to bad behaviors.
we've spoken to those who served with the SAS in Iraq.
There was one operation. I only became aware of it after the shooting, where the blokes had clearly executed a man. That was pretty clear from what I could glean, that he posed no threat. He wasn't armed. It's disgraceful. There's no professionalism in that.
He says the victim wasn't an insurgent, but it was never properly investigated.
This problem started long before the SAS moved to Afghanistan, and senior commanders were aware of that.
Not all killings in war are the same. Under both British and international law, troops shouldn't deliberately kill unarmed civilians or prisoners of war.
It's cut and dry. A non-combatant can never be intentionally harmed in war. The line between a soldier and a murderer. The difference is that the soldier, when the soldier has to take another human life, he or she will do so according to a warrior's code. They kill according to the laws of armed conflict, the laws of war. We have to hold our soldiers to that standard.
Our witnesses say the SAS had already developed a method of covering up unlawful killings in Iraq. They planted weapons, known as drop weapons, on the bodies of those they'd killed to make it look as if they were armed, and then took photos to justify the killings.
Iraq was awash with drop weapons. You'd see it a lot. Too many reports of a gun being found by someone's left hand, things like that. I mean, it's a classic mistake if someone's planting a weapon. You knew it didn't stack up. It was widespread. We all knew what was happening.
We've been told what the SAS did in Iraq, they did in Afghanistan. The eyewitnesses say they saw drop weapons being routinely used to cover up unlawful killings.
Absolutely, drop weapons were being used. There was a load of weapons that the guys had handed over to our guys by the previous squadron who'd been on deployment just before us. Some AKs and things like that, that you could plant on a body. It took a little while for the officers to work out exactly what the squadron was up to on operations, but pretty soon they could be in no doubt.
You'd see a lot more folding stock AKs. Because of the way they're designed to fold, they were easier to carry in day sacks, easier to bring onto the targets and plant by the body, to make it look like the person was holding a rifle when they were shot. We'd had grenades that didn't detonate. They wouldn't go off.
The public inquiry has only been looking at allegations about the SAS. We've been told the Navy Special Forces also committed war crimes in Afghanistan and used drop weapons to cover them up. Of the sources we've spoken to, more than 10 served with or alongside the Special Boat Service, or SBS.
How did I know they were planting grenades? I saw the same ones in the SSE photos. The photos coming back from the ops, I was like, hang on, I've seen that before.
One eyewitness says wounded Taliban fighters were routinely killed.
On one operation, a guy had been shot, but he was still breathing. You know, shallow breaths. The medic was standing over him, treating his injury. He'd been shot a couple of times, but it wasn't life-threatening. Then one of our blokes came up to him, and there was a bang. He'd been shot in the head at point-blank range. And then the body was just lying there. Everyone found on target was killed on target, pretty much. I can't recall us taking a single injured insurgent back to base for treatment. They were shot, there and then. It was completely unnecessary. There's a right and a wrong way to act. These are not mercy killings. It's murder.
The deliberate killing of wounded people, not posing a threat, would be a clear breach of international law. The eyewitnesses say SBS murders carried on after 2013, well beyond the years the inquiry is looking at.
You could see from the photographs taken on site that the accounts being given by the SBS guys to justify certain killings just didn't add up. They say they've been caught in a firefight, but in the photos you'd see these were multiple clean headshots.
One witness was a member of Afghan Special Forces who served alongside the SBS around 2020.
There was one operation in a remote village. We were with the British mentors. We were divided into groups and searched the houses, but we find nothing. Maybe we had the wrong target. I heard some shots fired from one of the houses. A boy about 13 or 14 years old was killed. I was told the British mentors killed him. I saw pictures of the boy the next day. They were very graphic. We were told by British mentors to destroy all the evidence about what happened that night.
The suspicious killings on Special Forces raids created problems for the NATO-led coalition known as ISAF.
Night raids, and especially those that went wrong and generated reports of civilian casualties, were a bonus to the Taliban.
They would use that evidence and amplify it in their information campaign against the government and against the ISAF forces. So all in all, it was a real negative for us and a positive for the Taliban.
Special Forces squadrons were rotated. Each tour lasted 6 months. The killings peaked in 2010 with the same squadron that kept a kill tally in Iraq. In Afghanistan, that squadron killed an average of 2.7 people on every operation. Hundreds were killed.
It was all about the stats. When the numbers were read out at the morning meeting at NATO headquarters, they wanted the SAS task force to have high numbers. It was seen as a metric of success. It was operation after operation after operation, going out every night.
Our sources say the next squadron to arrive wanted to beat that kill tally. Early on their tour, they killed a respected local man who'd served in the Afghan government. The SAS operational account said he'd grabbed a grenade after being detained.
They handcuffed us and stood us against the wall. They handcuffed Haji Ibrahim too. They told Haji Ibrahim to go into the room because they wanted to search it. They told Haji Ibrahim to lift up the curtain. When he entered the room, there were shots. So we knew Haji Ibrahim has been killed.
His high-profile death led to direct complaints to the British from the Afghan president. But the killing didn't stop. We've been told this squadron also killed hundreds of people.
On one operation, the troop had gone into the main part of the compound. It was a family of farmers. They shot the men in each of the rooms. Later, we were searching the bodies. One was quite an elderly man. This guy's family, wailing, really distressed. They'd set the dog on him before they killed him. You could tell by the family's reaction and the look of the house, these were civilians.
The witnesses say one member of the squadron personally killed dozens of people on the tour.
It seemed like he was trying to get a kill on every operation. Every night, someone got killed. He was notorious in the squadron. He genuinely seemed like a psychopath.
So the officer shot someone on the call out, and he told the officer not to shoot him again because he wanted to go and finish the wounded guy off with his knife. He wanted to, you know, blood his knife.
I didn't see this, but I was told he would get more junior lads to hold someone down while he stabbed them. And not a frenzied knife attack, but it was clinical, like precise.
Operational reports from the SAS say many detainees were shot after reaching for weapons. But our evidence suggests people were killed after surrendering and being handcuffed.
There's nothing that justifies killing a person under control. They're now prisoners. They are out of the fight. To kill them would be murder.
Can be an addictive thing to do. Kill someone. These blokes were intoxicated by that feeling of killing people. Some of the guys we killed genuinely were bad people, but they were taking pleasure in the brutality and the killing. Lots of psychotic murderers.
On tour after tour, the Special Forces killings continued.
One of the guys went in and shot a load of people in a row. They were sleeping. They were shot one after the other. I saw it with my own eyes. right in front of me.
They switched when they were out on ops. I saw the quietest guys switch, show serious psychopathic traits. It's like a mob mentality. Felt like we were going back 300-400 years. It was barbaric. I mean, I was totally prepared to shoot someone if they were shooting at me. I mean, that's different. They were lawless.
Senior people were told about the killings, but they weren't stopped. We found evidence of a widespread cover-up lasting years.
The cover-up started with special forces on the ground. It was continued by some of Britain's most senior military officers, and it was maintained by politicians and the Ministry of Defence.
The eyewitnesses say official reports were falsified after unarmed people were killed.
In the main, the squadron was operating under Card Alpha. You'd have to be acting in self-defense to justify a shooting. That's why a lot of the reports are written like they are. It's a fiction, but they're written up to appear within the rules of engagement. We understood how to write up serious incident reviews so they wouldn't trigger a referral to the military police. If it looked like a shooting could represent a breach of the rules of conflict, you'd get a phone call from the legal advisor or one of the staff officers in HQ. They'd pick you up on it. They'd help you clarify the language. Do you remember someone making a sudden move? Oh yeah, I do now. That sort of thing. It was built into the way we operated.
Those watching the raids on live drone feeds say they were also pulled into the cover-up.
What the atmospheric like around in the field, Seven?
I was watching the operation as it was happening. There was a heat patch from the thermal imaging where he was, and then a muzzle flash. The guy wasn't armed. He was caring. There was no suggestion he was posing any sort of threat. Afterwards, I was asked to see if I could dig up anything that connected him to the Taliban.
There was a real bad operation where there was a slippage in time, where our air assets, the ISTAR, no longer had visuals on the vehicle we were tracking. We lost coverage. They thought they had spotted the same vehicle, but we were concerned the details didn't add up. The guys on the ground went ahead anyway. The operations happened, and an entire family's been killed. Later on, from the information we got, it looks pretty sure that they got the wrong vehicle.
The intelligence officer says after the raid, the paperwork was falsified.
I know for a fact that report was a lie. The details were changed, so it looked like everything was done by the book. That we never lost sight of the target. They'd lied on the report. None of the information about them getting the wrong vehicle was divulged. And I was told to keep shum about it. In my head, that's red flags going off.
Evidence from military sources and documents shows very senior officers were warned about potential war crimes. By law, they're supposed to report suspicions of serious offences to the military police. They didn't do that. Panorama has previously revealed they include some of the most high-ranking officers in the armed forces. Former second-in-command of the British military, General Sir Gwyn Jenkins. The former head of the British Army, General Sir Mark Carleton Smith. And the former head of UK Special Forces, Lieutenant General Jonathan Page.
it's the responsibility of an officer coming into possession of information relating to a crime of this gravity to report it immediately to the Royal Military Police. It's not a matter of discretion, it's a matter of obligation under the law.
Do you think we could still see prosecutions of senior military figures because of the way that they behaved? Is that possible, do you think?
When I was Director of Service Prosecutions, if I ever had evidence, there would have been no question that I would have directed a prosecution.
Lawyers acting for General Carlton Smith told us the allegations are entirely groundless. None of his senior commanders produced any evidence of unlawful killings in Afghanistan. And there was no allegation or evidence that he was aware of to refer to the RMP. We wrote to General Jenkins and Lieutenant General Page. They didn't comment. British Special Forces killed many hundreds of people on night raids. Some were undoubtedly Taliban fighters. But the Afghan families we've spoken to say their relatives were civilians, not insurgents. One family had four people killed in an SAS raid in 2011.
They tied his hands in front of me. If you have tied someone's hands, how can they fight?
He was dead, lying face down on the ground. His head, the forehead area, was shot with many bullets, and his leg was completely broken by the bullets.
The family took legal action against the British government in 2019. It was a crucial case, but it was almost stopped in its tracks by false evidence from the MOD. The court was looking at the way the British state investigated the deaths of the four Afghan nationals. The Ministry of Defence didn't disclose the fact that internal concerns had been expressed about the activities of the unit involved in the operation. Three members of the MOD's legal team had to apologise for the court being misled. The case was put on hold when the public inquiry started, but the failure to fully investigate went higher still. We've been told the then British Prime Minister was repeatedly warned about civilians being killed on night raids. One of our sources was present when David Cameron met the Afghan president in 2011.
Who was at the meeting?
Prime Minister and his advisors and foreign minister from British sides, and from our sides, President Karzai, foreign minister, myself.
And did President Karzai say civilians are being killed on night raids?
Repeatedly he mentioned that.
Can there be any doubt that David Cameron was told that UK Special Forces had killed civilians?
I cannot believe that is any doubt.
And what did David Cameron say?
They assure us that is accidentally, but they will talk again and work on it.
President Karzai was so consistent with his complaints about night raids, civilian casualties and detentions, that there was no senior Western diplomat or military leader who would have missed the fact that this was a major irritant for him and increasingly, over time, a significant political problem.
Despite the repeated warnings, the suspicious killings continued.
If he did go up to those levels and nothing was done, which would really surprise me, then that's reprehensible. You need to know how far the rock went up.
We wrote to Lord Cameron. His spokesperson told us that, to the best of Lord Cameron's recollection, the issues raised by President Karzai were with reference to ISAF in general, and that specific incidents with respect to UK Special Forces were not raised. He also said any suggestion Lord Cameron colluded in covering up allegations of serious criminal wrongdoing is total nonsense. Evidence shows how the British government undermined a murder investigation run from a Cornish military base.
Operation Northmoor, which was based here at RAF St Morgan in Cornwall, was run by the Royal Military Police. It was set up in 2014 and it was a team of detectives looking at allegations against UK forces, including dozens of suspicious killings on night raids.
So, Operation Northmoor was looking at 52 suspected murders. MOD documents show the government sent in two advisors who took control. The government was effectively directing what should have been an independent investigation.
I guess I would liken it to, you've got a murder that's happened in London somewhere and the Metropolitan Police are investigating, and the government of the day decides that they're going to put some external advisers into that police investigation. Well, everyone would look at that and go, that's completely ridiculous. And that appears to be what's happened here.
MOD documents show the advisers then sent in a review team who stopped the RMP from pursuing key leads. Detectives wanted to seize the main SAS computer server holding messages and operational records. But they were ordered to recover the data set amicably instead. The detectives asked Special Forces for an assurance that no data is changed, modified, or deleted before the handover. Special Forces agreed, but then data was permanently deleted, and the server was never handed over.
The moment one gets to be told things like that, one starts to get suspicious. I certainly would have challenged any attempt to deny investigators' access to that material. If you destroy it, knowing that it is required for the purposes of investigation, then if all that can be proved, you are doing an act which has a tendency to pervert the course of public justice, which is a common law offence and carries extremely serious penalties.
There was more interference with another crucial strand of evidence, video footage. The eyewitnesses say Special Forces raids were filmed.
We'd never go out on a job without ISTAR. One of the air assets would stream footage back to at least one of the ops rooms. If an officer is not out on the ground, they can watch what's happening. There are big screens showing the operation unfolding.
My understanding is that the feed coming into the ops room, the footage of the operation, was all recorded. When I was there, absolutely the rule was no operation would happen without eyes in the sky. They had to have eyes in the sky.
This man was in a unique position. Johnny Mercer served alongside Special Forces in Afghanistan and later became a defence minister in the Conservative government. He knew SAS raids were filmed and asked about the footage of the suspect raids. He told the Inquiry the then director of Special Forces said it wasn't available. General Roland Walker is now head of the British Army.
I said to him, "Where is this stuff?" I remember he leant back and went like that.
So apart from leaning back and apparently shrugging his shoulders and holding his hands out, did he offer any explanation to you as to where this material was?
It's not available, Johnny.
Did you press him on that?
I made clear to him that it wasn't plausible. It was not a plausible explanation to me.
So your take back to the Secretary of State was that, having been tasked by him to get to the bottom of this, you could not agree with what you were being told and you wouldn't sign off on it as accurate?
Correct. I think my words were, "Something stinks."
We wrote to General Walker. He didn't respond. Panorama has discovered Operation Northmoor did obtain some RAF drone footage of Special Forces raids. But the RMP couldn't view it because of a software problem.
We've been told that a Ministry of Defence contractor came here in 2019 to help the Royal Military Police. The expert contractor said they could supply software that would allow the detectives to review the footage. But the RMP never took up the offer, and that crucial footage was never watched.
And now we know why. High Court documents reveal that direction was given that it was no longer appropriate or proportionate to continue with this line of inquiry. Just to be clear, RMP detectives were told it's not appropriate or proportionate to look at video evidence that might show murders. In 2019, Operation Northmoor was closed. The government said the war crimes allegations had been fully investigated, even though the video footage hadn't been viewed and the computer server hadn't been seized.
The reputation of our services is at stake here. We need to be seen to be on the front foot in taking it seriously and investigating it and rooting out the problem. But did we see that? No, we didn't. So I have been constantly surprised to read the official statements that have been coming out from various quarters within the Ministry of Defence.
The then Defence Minister, Johnny Mercer, agreed to announce the closure of Northmoor. But he was still concerned. He now believes terrible crimes may have been committed in Afghanistan.
Johnny Mercer told the Inquiry there was credible evidence that war crimes had been committed. He said he was given detailed accounts by British and Afghan special forces. Some told him detainees had been executed, including handcuffed children.
We have not just hearsay or rumour, there is first-hand evidence of allegations of the most serious kind.
Correct.
And to be clear, these are allegations of straight murder.
Yes. If true, I have absolutely nothing in common with these individuals, and I totally reject their behaviour. I remained very concerned, particularly around the killing of children. Whatever happened on these operations, kids ended up dead, and people are saying they don't remember what happened.
One of our eyewitnesses says he saw child executions on SAS raids.
They handcuffed a young boy and shot him. He was clearly a child, not even close to fighting age. I couldn't believe what they were doing. There's no justification for that. There's not any kind of advantage to killing children. This didn't just happen once. These were kids.
The MOD says it urges all veterans with relevant information to come forward to the Afghan inquiry. It says it's fully committed to supporting the independent inquiry, and that it's not appropriate for the MOD to comment on allegations which may be within its scope. Our evidence suggests a cover-up may be continuing. It concerns the Afghan Special Forces, who served alongside the British. They're known as the Triples, and they were on the night raids.
We told the British we could not support their operations if they continued to kill civilians. All the time, we were having meetings with the British and telling them they needed to be careful.
They were often alongside our special operations forces, operating night after night after night at a very high tempo across the country. So they proved indispensable. The Afghan special forces were the best of the best, and very well trained, very well equipped, and frankly, those who typically fought until the very end, in August of 2021.
When the Americans withdrew from Afghanistan, there was panic. Afghans who'd worked with NATO forces feared for their lives. The British government had set up a scheme to allow eligible triples to come to the UK. But almost all the applications were turned down. That's thousands of people. Some of those rejected triples have been hunted down by the Taliban.
We heard some of our triple already killed by Taliban. Some of them is on the jail at the moment, on Taliban prison. Some of them, they are already disabled by Taliban. They are breaking their hand, their leg, their head.
Panorama revealed last year why the Afghan triples were turned away. UK Special Forces had a secret veto over their applications. The government initially denied it, saying no such mechanism exists. We've now obtained a letter that proves they knew about the veto all along. Minister Johnny Mercer had already warned senior colleagues the veto posed a significant conflict of interest that should be obvious to all, as it allowed special forces to have decision-making power over people who were potential witnesses to the Afghan inquiry.
It looks like another cover-up. Some of the Afghans refused entry, say they were eyewitnesses to unlawful killings. But the inquiry can't compel them to give evidence if they're not in the country.
I was very disappointed after receiving my rejection. You know, we fought together against terrorists in the most difficult and dangerous operations. But after leaving Afghanistan, the British Special Forces easily forgot about all of us, even when we needed their approval for asylum. Now, they rejected us.
These were the people we had worked shoulder to shoulder with. risked our lives with. Everything is clear now. They don't want us in the UK because of what we have witnessed.
We can now reveal the veto process was overseen by one of those senior officers who failed to report evidence of war crimes to the military police, General Sir Gwyn Jenkins. He was responsible for people being turned away. Some were tortured and executed.
This is another aspect of the cover-up. The Triples had evidence of these killings. They served alongside British Special Forces. And I simply can't for the life of me understand why the Special Forces were given a veto as to whether their refugee status would be accepted. Stopping the Afghan soldiers who served with the UK Special Forces gaining refugee status is just another way of obscuring the evidence.
The government is now reassessing 2,000 Triples applications. Hundreds of those rejections have already been overturned. And in a crucial court case next week, hundreds of others will find out if their cases will be reviewed.
For someone, it's too late. They are already touched by Taliban. They are already killed by Taliban.
Who do you blame for the fact that they were trapped in Afghanistan?
I think it's ACS. If those people stopped them.
Do you think it's because of the public inquiry?
Yes, definitely. That's only reason. Hopefully, British government investigate that.
The MOD responded on General Jenkins' behalf. It says there's no evidence any part of the MOD tried to prevent former Triples giving evidence to the inquiry. It says anyone can provide evidence, no matter where in the world they are. The MOD remains fully committed to delivering on its pledge to relocate eligible Afghans to the UK. And each application is decided on its own merits in line with UK immigration rules. It says parliamentary statements have been made in good faith, and it would be inappropriate to comment further due to ongoing litigation. The eyewitnesses in this programme haven't given evidence to the inquiry. Some fear they could face repercussions for talking to the inquiry. Others worry it won't get to the truth. But they've spoken to us because they want the public to know what they saw.
Some were shot while they were running away. They were suspected to have a weapon. Not all were found with a weapon, though. I saw the SSE photos. You could clearly see people had been shot in the back.
Once everything was under control, as we were moving through an area or a compound, a number of the guys would shoot anyone who was on the ground as they were advancing through, neutralising and moving forward. It was expected, not hidden. Everyone knew.
On some ops, the troop would go into guest house type buildings and kill everyone there. They'd go in and shoot everyone sleeping there on entry. It's not justified. Killing people in their sleep.
In some squadrons in particular, there were some key individuals. They were a bunch of murdering bastards from long back. There's no other way to describe them.
I witnessed some of the stuff that was happening. A lot of people being killed. They were clearly running away. They were shot in the back of the head.
The guys from the squadron were regularly killing detainees. It'd become routine. They'd search someone, handcuff them, then shoot them. They'd cut off the handcuffs and plant a pistol.
Our evidence suggests executions were covered up by troops on the ground and then by officers above them.
I'm talking here about the allegations that they captured civilians, plastic cuffed them, took them back inside the building, there shot and killed them. Sometimes killed a sleeping person lying in bed. Those things are just plain murder.
The Ministry of Defence stands accused of a cover-up lasting years and shutting down a murder investigation before it could get to the truth.
At times, you could describe the way the Ministry of Defence acts as anti-democratic, in the way they sort of circle the wagons, deny everything, and then only release information when they're absolutely forced to.
We're bound by the same rules as everyone else in the military. These are murderers. They should all be locked up.
I serve with great people in Afghanistan, but you can't let murderers get away with it.